AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine conflict. What is to be done? The war grinds on in a small version of Verdun, a war of attrition and artillery with escalating weapon systems and threats. However, what's ahead of us is the possibility of negotiation at some point. All wars end either with victory or a negotiated stand down, ceasefire, armistice. There are many names for it. However, I welcome Ivana Stradner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing recently in the Dispatch about what to watch for with Russian negotiators when they enter into the lengthy conversation, likely supervised by the UN. There are other possibilities, such as Minsk 1 and 2 was supervised by European states. But in any event, what to watch for, what we learned from 2015 and 2016 and the Kremlin's way of negotiating. We begin with the four negotiating points that Ivana and her colleague identified and what is to be done when Russia makes promises. Ivana, a very good day to you. Thank you. The 4 points begin with reclaim all the land, including Crimea. What do you anticipate the Russian response will be? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you very much for, again, inviting me to your show. And to begin with, I am very much against negotiating with Putin at this stage. Everyone inside Russia keeps saying, you know, that Russia is ready to negotiate. As a matter of fact, Putin offered on Christmas to Ukraine to stop ceasefire for a few days. And that really just tells you all you need to know how Russia perceives negotiation when it suits their interest. But there is something that the West needs to understand about negotiating with Russia, is that the concept of deception, which is critical for Russian military strategy, Russia is using negotiation or any potential ceasefire just to regroup, just to rearm, and then with a new strength to fire back. I have to tell you, looking back, you know, at Minsk agreements that ceased to end, you know, the Donbas war, we have to understand that Russia was the one, you know, violating those agreements, let alone think about even in the cyberspace, how many times Russia offered to make a cyberspace like a truce with the United States, when as a matter of fact, it's Russia that has been waging a cyber war against the United States for years. So having said that, at this point, the only country that can benefit from negotiation is Russia. And also, we have to understand that Russia is not winning this war. We have numerous evidence to show that actually Russia is performing really poorly in Ukraine. And this is an opportunity for us to dictate how this war is going to end. And you're right. I stated that the first thing what we need to do, Ukraine must reclaim all stolen lands. So far, you know, we had several cases where Ukraine reclaimed, you know, its own territory since the beginning of the war. And many people fear that Russia will escalate. Russia escalates when the West is weak. Putin is emboldened by our weakness. So I'm not actually concerned that Russia is going to escalate with further restoration of territory. Second thing, I think we really need to help Ukraine to provide the means to rebuild. We are sending weapons, we are helping them with intelligence, but after the war, we also need to be ready to help them to rebuild the nation. And this is, you know, I also want to emphasize one thing. Germany and France, they were not willing to provide weapons in the amount and in the that United States, you know, did also have certain, you know, capabilities. But this is a thing where United States should also push our allies to help Ukraine, you know, to rebuild things. Third thing that we need to think about is we need to think about all those children that were removed from Russia. They need to be brought back to the country.
Why did they do that? Why, Ivana? It's the strangest thing. They're kidnapping children. Why?
Yeah, they're bringing them, you know, to Russian as what they claim, you know, as orphans, to protect them and to make them Russian. So this is a truly war crime. And I invite all your listeners really just to Google and to see all those devastating videos where all those kids are actually sent to Russia. And, you know, it brings me back, you know, to elaborate on the third point. I'm not a big fan of claiming, you know, that international law and international courts are very powerful. But in this particular case, we need to pursue, because international law will not deter Putin from further aggression. However, we need to, he was trying, you know, to change the international liberal order, and by showing that international institutions are still powerful and relevant is something that is going to send a serious signal to Putin. And, you know, the fourth thing is, speaking of international institutions and organizations, we should make sure, you know, that Ukraine becomes a member of NATO. It is in American interest as well. It's a huge country with great military, and Ukraine can be a great ally of the United States also in NATO. And finally, Putin claimed, you know, that this whole war is because the West was moving towards NATO was moving towards Russia, which is an absolute lie. One of, you know, his lies that he claimed to use to justify his war, whether it was a biolab, whether it was a NATO, whether it was, you know, denazification, but bringing Ukraine to NATO will actually send a clear signal to both China and Russia that they cannot dictate the future of NATO and the Western alliance. So these are, you know, four points that I wanted to raise here.
And you believe that in the Russian negotiators, how do you hold them to account when they deceive? Is there a method that can do that? How do you make them pay a price? We have about a minute.
To begin with, I would never even negotiate with them at this point, because, no, you know why they use negotiations? To show back home that they can be on the same footing and sit on the same table with the United States. This is why Putin actually even met with the U.S. counterparts numerous times to bolster his image back home. Russian military strategy, deception is the key. And I spoke in your show multiple times why Russia is using cybersecurity and information security efforts, precisely because of that. Because they can always claim it has nothing to do with us. It's a plausible deniability. So this is what Russia has always been doing.
And do you believe we've learned in our final 30 seconds, we've learned that Russia's a deceiver? Do you hear this from the capitals of Europe? From
no, NATO? No, I don't. So I think, you know, people in the West, they think with a Western mind. People right. in D.C. think sometimes, you know, that the world revolves around here. But we need to think about cultural differences. We need to think that the Russians, they, right. and it's called like a perception management, how people make decisions, you know, how people are making decisions is tremendously important.
Ivana Stradner from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing at the Dispatch. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.